Let's just pray before we open the word this morning and open our hearts in this way. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you've already spoken to us this day. And Father, we want to be a people, Lord, that really want to grow. Well, that's why we're here, Lord. We're not anywhere else, Lord. You placed us here, Lord, because we want to grow. And so, Father, as we open your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, that you challenge us. Father, that we will not stay where we are, but, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts, Father. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to share a little bit about the calling of Matthew this morning. And we've got a little clip just to show you just before we have a look at the scriptures this morning. So let's just have a look at this clip.
Our own people working for Rome. Makes me sick.
Collaborators, let's move on.
They're stinking vermin. You should keep your distance from them.
Two men went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other one a tax collector. The Pharisee prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, thieves, adulterers, or this tax collector.
Not the tax collector. Didn't even look up to heaven. He said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner.
God bless the tax collector, not the Pharisee. Anyone who praises himself will be humbled, and anyone who humbles himself will be praised." Matthew, come.
To follow him. One has to wonder of the sins committed by his other followers.
Well, this year we have a theme this year, and this theme is about the invitation. And there's three parts to this theme of the invitation. One is about the Lord, his invitation for him inviting us to come into that relationship with him. And secondly, looking about how he inviting us to come into all the things that he has for us. And then thirdly, us inviting other people and to have that heart for people, that we seriously care about people, that we don't have a separate life outside, but we have one life, and we want to see people coming into the things of the kingdom of God. And our heart is to invite in. That's our theme for the year, the invitation. I want to talk about this passage in Matthew, and it's Matthew writing about himself, and it's about Matthew's call, about that invitation that Jesus gives to Matthew to come and to follow him. And let's have a look at this in Matthew 9 and verses 9 to 13. Let's just read this together. It says, Jesus went on from there. By the way, this story is set in Capernaum. That really became Jesus' hometown after John was taken, John the Baptist was taken, Jesus, he relocated from Nazareth to the area of Galilee, particularly right on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, and in the town of Capernaum. That's really what he then called his hometown. And so really this is happening in a town which Jesus is very, very familiar with. And people have just seen earlier on in the passage that there's a paralytic that was healed there. And here we find Jesus here in Capernaum, which is now his, basically his hometown. It's where he based himself and did a lot of his ministry in the region of Galilee from. It says that Jesus went on from there, and from there, where was there? Well, this is where he's just done a miracle, healed a guy that was totally paralyzed. And he saw a man named Matthew, and also if you look in Mark, also Luke's gospel, he's also known as Levi. And Matthew's sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner, it's a little bit later, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners." And so I want to talk a little bit about this story because it tells us so much about the heart of God and so much about the heart that God is impressing upon us to have, and really our heart this year with our theme about the invitation. And now, to being a tax collector, Matthew was a tax collector. The thing about to be a tax collector, what would happen is that the Roman government, they would auction off the rights to become a tax collector. And whoever was the highest bidder, then they got the contract. They got the right to be the tax collector, to collect the tax in that particular region, that province, that area, that district, that town. And they had the rights to collect tax. Very lucrative business, because what would happen is once you had the rights to be the tax collector, you get whatever Caesar was agreed that you have to give Caesar's portion, whatever else you could collect, it became yours. And so whoever come the contract, they would go and they would find local people and they would give them an offer that is just too good to refuse. So they came and maybe go for them, you know, how would you, someone came and offered you $500,000 salary, quite a decent salary, I would think. And there's no way these guys are going to refuse this incredible salary that they give. But not only do they have this awesome salary, they again have the ability to, as long as they pay the person who's got the contract their portion, they've got the ability to take a little bit extra they want as well. They can lean on them, impress them, extort them, and get as much more money extra as they want. So very lucrative to have the contract, very lucrative to be a tax collector. You'd be very wealthy that way. You could collect taxes, you get a good salary, but you can lean on people and extort, get a little bit more money. We hear, see those movies you see about people paying protection money. I won't kill you if you give me money. That's a great way of being protected, isn't it? And extorting. And this is the kind of person that is a key, that Matthew was. Very despised people. They couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't fellowship. They couldn't go to the synagogue. They were the most despised people you can imagine. Now you think of the most despised category of person that you can think of, and they were probably lower than that. They were so despised. Even their parents were despised, because if your son was a tax collector, what a humiliation, what a shame on the family that you would have a son that is a tax collector, worse than a prostitute, worse than any sinner than you can think of was to be a tax collector, because you were a collaborator. The Romans had come in and that occupying force, and therefore these people had sold out their soul, if you like, sold out their nationality. They were ones that were working with the enemy. You know, you look at, you see movies about World War II, and you see people that were Jewish people that were Nazi sympathizers, very sympathetic to the Nazis, and how people treated them. And it's the same thing. These people were working for the enemy. And not only that, they were making a lot of money, and not only that, they were oppressing their own people and taking stuff for themselves and facilitating the work. So most despised, lowliest of lowest people. And when Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus, you know, when Zacchaeus, a little guy, was up on the tree, we all know the story in Luke 19, when he reaches out to him. And because these guys were so good at extorting, remember one of the first things that Zacchaeus says, he says, "Lord, if I've ripped anybody off, I'll repay it four times, because that's exactly what these guys did. They were ripping people off, making them pay far more, highly despised people, the lowest of the low. And even in Matthew 5, when Jesus is talking about loving enemies, he says, even tax collectors, even the scum of the scum of the scum, even they love people that love them and show them love. So who are you thinking you're so wonderful, loving people that are nice to you and being nice to people like you? Even tax collectors, the scum of the earth, even they love people and nice to people that are nice to them. And so everybody knew the tax collectors were the most despised of all the people. And, you know, worse than any drug dealer that you could think of on the corner. You know, worse, I don't know what you think is the worst category of criminal, but these guys were treated and thought as that. And so they couldn't relate to other people. No one wanted anything to do with them all. The only people they could relate to were others, tax collectors. So they have a little tax collector subculture where they relate to one another, because no one wants anything to do with these most despised and hated people. And so here we have Matthew. And now this is, again, as I said, this is Matthew writing about himself. So Matthew has done that. He's sold out his soul, basically. He's forsaken his countrymen, he's forsaken his religious upbringing, he's forsaken everything else because he's in for the money. And here he is, Matthew, sitting there at this booth. Now you've got to remember too that the Capernaum, where this is taking place, is right on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And quite often, and what they've found now with some archaeological evidence, is that there was actually a tax on fishing. So whatever was caught, they would come and they'd have to pay a little tax on the fish that they've even caught. But there's all sorts of taxes. They had taxes for everything you can think of. Food taxes, crossing taxes, every sort of tax. People were severely taxed and oppressed people. And Matthew was right at the front line doing that. So here's Matthew sitting there and he's minding his business, a lucrative business. But then Jesus comes along. Now, Matthew might have heard of Jesus. I'm sure the words of about this paralytic being raised up, he may have heard of Jesus. But then Jesus comes up to him. Now, you even saw in that little clip, people don't want anything to do with a tax collector. You don't want to be associated with that. Oh, this person knows tax collectors and the lowest of the lowest of the low. And that Jesus, who does he come up to? He doesn't come up to the Pharisees and grab a hold of them and pat them on the back. In fact, he does everything but pat Pharisees on the back. But he goes and he approaches this man, Matthew. And that's the thing about when Jesus comes and he says to Matthew, of all people, he looks him in the eye and he just says, follow me. He gives this invitation to the lowest of the low. And that's the thing about when Jesus gives his invitation, it's inclusive. His invitation to come to him is open to everyone. He doesn't discriminate about people, about their behavior, their background, their lifestyle. It is inclusive. He says, you come and follow me. But see, sometimes in our minds, we can segregate society. We do segregate society. We even segregate people. And there's certain people that we think that are easier to reach, or ones that, oh, they'd make a good Christian, or they'd make a good Christian. But other people, we just maybe think, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. I'm not going to touch them. But the Lord, he had a heart to them. He wasn't afraid to reach out to people. And the thing about Matthew is he didn't go up to Matthew and say, Matthew, if you stop being a tax collector, if you stop doing this, then you can come and follow me. He didn't say, Matthew, if you just repent of this horrible thing that you're doing, if you give all the money back that you've ripped off, then you can come and follow me. He didn't give any qualification to follow him. He just said, follow me. He said, just come and follow me. See, sometimes we think that there's these big hurdles and things that we have to go through. The lowest scumbag of all didn't have to do anything to earn it. Didn't have to do anything to make himself better, didn't have to improve himself, didn't have to get into a place where he became acceptable to God. He didn't have to do anything himself. He simply had to respond to the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was to come and follow me. And that's the heart that God wants us to have, that it's just coming to Jesus Christ. And sometimes in our own mind, we think about people we're reaching out to and think, oh, if they change this or if they do that, then maybe they can come to Jesus. But Jesus says, just come to me, come as you are, come as you are. And he illustrated that perfectly by the most despised person of the despised subclass of society. He just looked him in the eye and said, come and follow me. And that's the heart of the gospel. It's for everyone. Is your heart for other people to reach out to people? And the invitation that Jesus gives is for one of relationship. I love that little clip where Jesus has come and actually takes him by the hand, because that's what Jesus wants. He wants people to come into relationship with him. That was the invitation that was given. Come into that. Come as a friend. Jesus was not afraid to bring Matthew into his inner circle. He wasn't afraid. But just imagine how you would feel if you're the other disciples. Okay, so you've got Andrew, you've got Peter, you've got James, you've got John. You're already these ones that are already following Jesus Christ. And here's Matthew, and he's sitting there at that place, at that desk, and he's extorting. He might be leaning on people, pray a bit more, and whatever he's doing. And then there's Jesus there, the disciples there, and then Peter recognizes this guy. Oh, this is the guy who rips me off every time we go fishing. Because they had quite a good fishing business, Peter. It was quite a good little business going. The sons of Zebedee Incorporated, fantastic business. They had multiple boats, multiple people working for them. But there's this man who they just had to keep taxing the life out of them. And here they are, and they see this guy, and immediately they relate to him. And he's probably the same guy. He could be. We don't know for sure. There's lots of tax collectors, but he may well have been one of the ones that they had to give this money, this usury, this extortion to pay this guy. And then Jesus has the audacity to not only approach the guy and talk to him. Now, Jesus didn't approach him and tell him off, because we want to tell people off. We want to tell them off about this, tell them off about that. Jesus didn't go up to him and start laying into him and say, what do you think you're doing? How can you betray who you are? How can you betray your homeland, your countrymen? How can you bring such shame and humiliation to your family? How can you do all of this? Jesus didn't come and give him a hard time. Jesus just looked him in the eye and he says, follow me. Now imagine these guys. How on earth can you do that, Jesus? You know who this guy is? Jesus knew exactly who this guy was. And so there would have been a big adjustment that would have to happen in the life of these guys. Because when Jesus said, follow him, it wasn't just saying, look, I'm just walking to the end of the block. It was everything. And they had to adjust to that too. Because suddenly this man that they hated so much and they despised, as godly as they might have been, they suddenly had to change their attitude and their heart and embrace this guy, Matthew, that Jesus has now brought into his inner circle. Now, we're going to see that, yeah, it changed his life dramatically. But there was this emotional thing. And sometimes we can be... Now, the Pharisees, they had no problems standing there and saying, this guy's pathetic. He is hopeless. Look at him. He's the lowest of the low. And the Pharisees were one who put themselves aside of everybody else. And they would be critical. So critical spirit is such a deadly thing. Criticizing, cutting, criticizing, criticizing all the time, hanging on them, laying on them all of the time. And that's the Pharisees, because they were the holy elite ones. But Jesus hangs it on to them in a minute. We'll just see what Jesus says to them. But if just imagine that adjustment they would have had to have, the rest of the disciples. Because when Matthew comes into relationship with Jesus, then it means now I'm now in a relationship with them too. Because that's the thing about being part of the body of Christ. It's not just me and Jesus together. It's actually me, Jesus, and us together. We're all in it together. It's not about your own personal relationship with God. Of course, that's fundamental. But you cannot have a personal relationship with God outside of relationship with everyone else that's in relationship with God. It can't happen. That's what it means. That's why we go to church. That's why we're part of a body. That's why we belong together. And so Jesus brought him into the circle, and then all of a sudden these guys had to bring him into their own hearts as well. What a challenge that is. What's our heart? How open are we to bring people in? Because Jesus just gives that invitation out. He just says, come and follow me. Come into that place of intimacy with him. The other thing that Jesus does, excuse me, as we're a little bit further on, is that Jesus, one of the first things that Jesus does is he goes into his home. And when you get into someone's turf, when you go into their home, you're actually going into their place, into their space. And there's something about that. There's a connecting and there's an identifying with someone when you actually go into their home. And so Jesus goes there. It's a place where it's very familiar, very comfortable, a very safe place. And Jesus goes right into that place. And that's where he reaches out, and we'll a little bit more later on, but all of the people that he happened to invite along himself. Matthew invited his friends along because that's what you're supposed to do. First thing Matthew did was invite his friends along. Pretty smart cookie, because he realized that, what a wretch. We've sung about what a wretch I was. And if you really understand how wretched you are before God without Christ, or where I am without Christ, and you realize what it is now to be in Christ and how wonderful it is, then everyone else that you know, you want them to come into that same place. And that's why he has this big party. He invites everyone he knows and brings along. Immediate response. Pharisees, they don't invite anybody. Pharisees are just there to hang it on people who aren't there. The Pharisees are there to hang it on and to criticize and to be down. They're on the outside because we are the elect. We're the Pharisees. We know it all. We know about the ways of God. We know. We've memorized. We know the Torah off by heart. We know probably if they're familiar with those Pharisees, probably know all the Old Testament. They know it all off by heart. And yet they were on the outer, and it was Jesus pulling Matthew in, and he went to that intimate place, because that's what Christ desires with us, intimacy. It's where the Pharisees missed out on it, because they never really came to intimacy. And some people, when they come to Christ, don't really come into intimacy with him. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus wants for each and every one of us, to come into that place. And the thing about when we actually come to, when Jesus grabs a hold of us and says, follow me. And that does demand a response from us. Because when he's saying, follow me, it's not saying, just come for a little waltz up the park. Let's go for a walk up the street. Matthew, he knew what Jesus was saying. Jesus was a rabbi. When a rabbi came to you and said, follow me, take my yoke, take my learning, take my ways upon you. That, what an awesome privilege that was. A rabbi wants to sow their life into me. He wants me to walk with them along the road. And we walk the same path and the same, you know, it was a wonderful privilege. Matthew knew what was being asked of him. See, for Peter and Andrew and Peter and James and John as fishermen, when they gave it all up to follow the Lord, guess what? There's still plenty of fish in there, isn't there? If it all didn't work out, somehow, oh, look, not the Messiah. Oh, well, bad luck. We can go back and at least we can go fishing again, because there's still plenty of fish there. We're fishermen. We've got the skill. We can fish. But when the Lord says, follow me, Scripture says he immediately jumps to his feet and he just leaves it all on. And there's no going back for Matthew. There's no turning back. You were a tax collector, and the circumstances, he could not become a tax collector again. Once he left everything behind, he turned away from it all, and he just immediately, that's the thing that gets it, it's immediate response. He turns away from it. He realizes, what a wretched man that I am. I'm actually the lowest of the lowest of the low. And without Christ in my life, I'm pathetic. And that's the same for every one of us. And then he comes to that point and he grabs hold of Jesus. He leaves it all behind. And that's the thing about being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You leave it behind. So many people don't want to leave it behind. They want to grab Jesus with one hand and they're holding on in the other hand. Can you just imagine if Matthew was there and Jesus saying, follow me? He goes, yeah, yeah, Jesus. Good on you, Jesus. Yeah, the healer. I saw you do the paralytic thing and fantastic. But he wanted to hold on to this, because there's a lot of money we're talking about here, and a lot of influence and all this stuff. What some people want to do that. They want to hold on. They have a foot in each camp halfway, and they think that they're followers of Jesus Christ. They're not followers of Jesus Christ. We're not a follower of Jesus Christ unless we say, Lord, I'm leaving it all behind, and I'm following you, and I'm going to walk with you. It was that formal invitation. The word there, when Jesus did that, it actually means to follow me, means to be my disciple, become a disciple of me, follow me. It was a formal invitation. And without hesitation, he grabbed a hold of it. Because when Jesus invites you, it's going to change everything about your life. And that's immediately what happened to him, because he followed Jesus. Jesus wants us to be followers. He doesn't want you to be a believer. Some people say, oh, I'm a believer, I believe in Jesus. Well, the scripture says the demons, they believe in God and they shudder. Not enough to be a believer. I gave my heart to the Lord, now I'm a believer. No, I'm a follower. He wants followers. He wants disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk a little bit next term about being a follower, not being a fan. Because some people want to come along and cheer Jesus. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Good on you on a Sunday. And wonderful, because they're a fan. They're a fan of Jesus. But then they go back to their daily routine and their normal walk of life, and nothing is really different because they're a fan. They're not a follower. And they'll come on the Sunday and they'll cheer Jesus. Good on you, Jesus. Whoa. And then they go back to their normal life again. And there's nothing really different because they've got one hand anchored here, one hand trying to hold there. And God says, no, I'm inviting you to follow me, to come into intimate relationship with me, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to embrace what it means to carry your own cross, to embrace sacrifice, to walk that path. It's not about one foot here and one foot there. It's about being a follower of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be disciples. And that's what happened to Matthew. It's interesting, you know, Matthew, he just left it all. He's writing his own story. And the other Gospels do that. It's interesting. Matthew still later on refers himself as Matthew the tax collector. But the other disciples, it's interesting because something changes in their heart. You read the other Gospels where they talk about Matthew. He's no longer, he's just Matthew. I don't think of him as a tax collector because Jesus has changed him. He's not that anymore. Matthew, when he again refers a little bit later himself, says Matthew, the tax collector, is like in the humility and bearing a little bit of that still. But Christ totally changed his life. He was one of the influential disciples and followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. It changes everything. But then he has this party. And that again shows you, when's the last time you had a party? Well, you invited unsaved people that you know along, people that you were in a relationship with, people that you put on a prayer list with and were praying for. When's the last time you invited them all, invited them to your house? Because that's what Matthew did. First thing Matthew does is he gets there and who does Matthew know? Who is his buddies? Well, it's tax collectors because no one else wants to have anything to do with him because he's the scum of the earth. And there's sinners. But remember, there's tax collectors here. Sinners here. Sinners aren't as bad as tax collectors. They're down here. And so he's gone up a little bit in the world. He's got a few sinners that he relates to as well. Maybe they're just thieves and murderers and whatever else they are. He was a tax collector. He gets them all together, people that he knew, and he calls them to this party. And the amazing thing is that Jesus goes along there. Now, Jesus doesn't go along there and start collecting taxes because some people think when they're reaching out to unbelievers, I've got to be like them. They're all getting drunk. Oh, I'll get drunk too, and that way I can reach out to them. No, you've lost it if you try to do that. Jesus went there. There was something about Jesus. He was comfortable in who he was and that he was comfortable with people that weren't like him. How comfortable are you with people that aren't like you? How comfortable are you with people that are different, don't think the same way as you? He was comfortable with people like that. And they receive that because people know. People know if you're down on them. People know if you're judging them. People know if you're against them. He was able to be there with them and they were able to be in relationship. And it says there, it tells us in the Gospel of Mark 2:15, it says, many of them followed him. Many of them. Don't you want many of your family to follow the Lord? I want all of them. Do you want all of your friends to follow them? When was the last time that you invited them? When was the last time you brought them together? Because Jesus has done something so amazing and so incredible that would cause you to give up what they would think was, how could you give up all this money? And I found something far more precious than money. I found Jesus Christ and changed absolutely everything. He was comfortable with them. He wasn't put off by people. Are you comfortable with people that are just not like you? Different background, different nationality, whatever it is. If you're not comfortable, then get comfortable because that's the heart that Christ wants to give us and wants us to have. But then it's interesting when they have this party together and the Pharisees, well, the Pharisees are the Pharisees. They're the ultimate critics. Always find something wrong with anything because nothing will ever measure up. And I think you'll find in life that if you want to be critical like a Pharisee, you'll find that nothing will ever measure up to the standard of perfection that you have put in your own mind. You, of course, you don't live up to it yourself, but you expect everybody else to live on it. And that was the thing about the Pharisees. Jesus said, look, you put all this stuff on people, but you don't even do it yourself. And so he was not impressed with that kind of thing. And so the Pharisees were standing off. And the Pharisees, they would have been a little bit put out, because if Jesus is going to have a party, who would he have? Well, he'd invite the learned ones, the religious ones, the respected ones. These guys didn't even get an invite. They're on the outside and they're in there. And others are there. They're coming and being touched by Jesus Christ. But then Jesus, he says this quite remarkable thing, because the Pharisees, they get the disciples and say, they say, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Because we wouldn't do that. We're too holy. We're too perfect. Now, why does Jesus do that? And it's interesting. Jesus' response is an interesting thing, because it's doubly offensive, really. It can be offensive potentially to the people that he's with and sitting in their house. Certainly highly offensive to the Pharisees, because Jesus didn't take any nonsense from those guys, because he was not playing games. Life is not about games. See, the Pharisees, they were ones that they had religion. They were very religious people, but they had religion, but they didn't have relationship. Jesus is not interested in people's religion. He's interested in relationship with you, relationship. These guys had religion, didn't have relationship. They knew all about God, but they didn't know God. And as a church, we don't ever want to be a church where we just, no, I'm growing in my knowledge of God, but I'm not living it in my life. What hypocrisy is that? We want to live it. But more than that, we want us to keep share what God is doing in our lives. The Pharisees didn't want that. They didn't want that. And so he says to them, this is what he says. So Jesus hears this. So we don't know whether they shouted it through the, we don't know. Quite a lot of tax collectors, probably quite a noise there. Maybe they grab the disciples. The disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus is asking, they're asking out there, why are you eating with these guys? And Jesus says this. He says, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. Now, that first part could potentially be offensive if everybody else is there. Because here I am with the sinners and the tax collectors, and he's saying, these guys are sick. That's what he's saying. Now, that's potentially offensive, but it's not offensive, because the bottom line is that when you're sick in your heart, when you know that your life's not right with God, you know that. You know there's something not right. You don't need someone to come and tell you that. You know when you're not working with God, when your life isn't right with God, you're not in a right standing, you know in your heart. When you're sick, you know you're sick. You don't need the doctor to tell you you're sick. You've gone to the doctor because you know you're sick. You've gone to the doctor looking for a cure, and praise God for these people. There was a doctor in the house. Jesus was there in the house and they could touch him. And so there's no sense of them being offended, because they know. After all, they're tax collectors. I mean, you're a tax collector, you know. You don't need to be told. The sinners there, they know. And so they weren't offended. But the Pharisees, and this is what I want us to get, just as we draw to a close in a moment, what he said to the Pharisees. And this is what he said to them. Not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. Now, that's highly offensive in itself. These Pharisees have devoted their entire lives to devouring the Old Testament. And they would have already, by 12, they would have known the first five books of the Bible. They knew the Torah, the Pentateuch. They knew that. And they would have memorized the prophets, and they would have had all of that down pat. They knew it. They knew the stuff. They'd learned it. They devoted their life to learning it, but never to living any of it. That was the problem. And so when Jesus goes to them and says, go and learn what this means, that's a, oh, that is excellent. Don't try that at home. I'm going to cry now. So, it was a slap in the face to those guys. Go and learn this. And they go, whoa, ho, ho, ho. Us learn. And then he quotes this from Hosea 6:6. He says, go and learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. because they were so caught up in their religion, they forgot the heart for other people. They didn't care about other people. They were quite happily to go along with their religion. They go to the synagogue every week, faithfully every week. They're tithing, good on them, tithing every little 10% of little spice, mill, dill and mint and everything else it says in the scripture. Did all of that stuff, but something missing inside, something missing within their heart. And he says, go and learn what it means. Learn about mercy. Learn about having a heart for other people. Because that's the heart message that God wants us to have. Because we can be a good Christian on the outside. But unless we grab a hold of this heart to invite, to come and get others. Because Jesus, he says this to him, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, because I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. But sinners. Sinners. That's what he's called. And he's saying to them, guys, you know all this stuff, but you're not in a relationship with me. It's all about a relationship. It's not about how much you know. It's not about even whether you go. It's whether you have that relationship with God and then you grow. That's what it is about. So important in our lives. And then he says about, I've not come to call the righteous. See, Jesus said, I've come to make a call. I have come to make an invitation. And Jesus invites us because he wants to invite us to invite others. Matthew did that. First thing that he did was to invite other people. And I pray that in our heart that we don't become Pharisaical in our ways, in that we're learning stuff and we're, you know, but maybe we don't apply the stuff in our lives. Maybe we come and we cheer on a Sunday, but the rest of the week, no one would even know whether we're a Christian or not. Something to change within our heart. But also to be ones who have the heart to invite, because Jesus invited us into relationship, but he says, I've come to call. I've come to call, and I pray that you see that your heart is, I have come, even as I want to live like Jesus, I want to be like Jesus, I want to call other people into relationship with him. That's what I'm here for. That's what we're about. And that's certainly the heart, and we look at this theme across this year about the invitation. So we're not Pharisees here. We love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart and we honor him with all our heart. And we're not ones that are going to have, you know, one hand he's trying to hold on here and one trying to follow. We're not cheering on him, but we're saying, no, no, we are followers. We are dedicated, committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here to call because Jesus came to call. And we're here to call. We're here to invite. We've got events coming up. We've got a cafe night tonight. We've got a family service next week. We've got Easter coming up. Pharisee goes along and enjoys, but let's say, no, I have a heart for people. I'm praying for people on that list. I want to see them come to Jesus. I'm going to invite them. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone because it's easier to stand off and judge and condemn. Isn't that easy? So being criticizing is the easiest job in the world, isn't it? Have you ever criticized anyone? I think we have. Yeah, I'm sure we all have. I know I have. Easy to criticize, isn't it? No responsibility, you don't have to do anything. You just say, ah. But to actually, to have a heart and do something, that takes something. It takes following the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes about carrying our cross. It talks about sacrifice, putting yourself out of our comfort zone, not living for the comfortable happiness of our life and the enjoyment of ourself, but to grow in God and to have his heart. And so I pray, and this we're going to stand this morning as we close, that we'll have a heart. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, or maybe you've said, yeah, I believe in him, but you've never actually said, I'm going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to give your heart to Jesus today. This is your day. Don't muck around. Don't waste another day. Say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. If you can reach the lowest of the low, the scummiest of the scum, and Lord, you can embrace them and take them. Lord, you can take me. We sang that song about amazing grace, you know, Newton writing that, the slave trader, who, because of him, saw countless Africans die at his hand because of what he was doing as a slaver. He could write amazing grace. If you don't know Jesus, doesn't matter who you are, you can come to Jesus this day, you can receive him. But if you know Jesus Christ, and the challenge is to say, Lord, just check my heart today. Am I someone who's a bit standoffish and I might want to criticize, but I don't want to get in there. I don't want to live the life. I don't want to really follow. I don't really want to walk the walk. I can talk the talk, but no, Lord, I want to walk the walk, Lord. I want to walk that, Lord. I want to have a heart to invite. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you gave that wonderful invitation. Lord, that invitation that Matthew responded to without any hesitation. Lord, when you said, follow me, Lord, that come into that place of intimacy. And Lord, this day, we want to respond to your invitation, Lord, to come into a deeper relationship with you. If anyone doesn't know you, Lord, I pray, give them the courage to come and take a step forward, to come out and get hands laid upon and to pray with them that they would know Jesus this day. Father, if anyone, as they look at their life, they say, yeah, I'm really living a double life. I'm sort of half in and I'm half out and half there, half not there. And maybe I'm a little bit like a Pharisee where I want to hang it on everyone and put them down and say, oh, thank you, I'm not like them. Father, I pray, Lord, if you touch our hearts today, Lord, we want to be the followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to follow that invitation, Lord, that you've given us. But Lord, I pray that you impress on our hearts, Lord, that we will invite others, or that you've called us to invite others. So Lord, we ask that now in Jesus' name. You want prayer this morning, but you give it on, oh Jesus, I'd love to pray with you.